the best in the world.
I've been the best ever since day one. On this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. And trust me when I tell you, I am the hottest property in this industry today. Nobody can touch me. The only thing that's real is me, day in and day out. I am the best in the world. Do I have everybody's attention now?
What up, people? Welcome to another edition of the Salty Thoughts Mike Steph podcast, featuring the one and only Mike Steph, best in the world at what he does. Yes, indeed. I'm back for the first time in at least 2 weeks to give y'all a full-fledged, full-length episode. I don't know how long I'm going to go, but it'll probably be more than a sprinkle. It'll be less than a pour. It'll be somewhere in between, because I'm not going to lie. If you look into these eyes, look into the eyes of a like me, tell me what you see. You see the eyes of a very tired man, a man who has stretched himself as much as he can stretch himself to the limits of what I love to give to the masses, which would be y'all. Trust and believe, before the end of this episode, I will let y'all know. Matter of fact, I'll let y'all know now. This week, I am a special guest host on Gimmick Infringement, GI, with my brother, Tyler McDowell. You know, he put the bat signal up from Arizona, and I was able to catch that signal all the way here in the borough of Brooklyn. So I stepped in for Brad Winchester, the other half of Gimmick Infringement. Hope everything is well. Hope everything, you know, which go works out. And yeah, so me and Tyler wrapped up what we talked about. And I said, you know what, before I get tired, right, before I get sleepy, let me get the equipment out and let me record my episode and, you know, get shit up and running. So that kind of explains if any chance that the energy is a little bit low. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of tired right now. It kind of caught up with me. So before I get everything up and running, I'll let y'all know exactly what is going to be on tap this week. Of course, I'll continue my string of episodes centering around my New York Knickerbockers, but this time I'm going to center around the afterglow, basking the glory of my New York Knickerbockers, vanquishing those dirty-ass Philadelphia 76ers in the first round. Leave them home. 1-2-3 Cancun. And we go on to the second round. We go on in the NBA playoffs to face an opponent that a lot of people probably wouldn't have picked for us to face in the second round. Everybody assumed it probably was going to be the Milwaukee Bucks. But guess what? The Milwaukee Bucks got vanquished in six games. They'll fuck up out of here. And we're going to face the Indiana Pacers for a best of seven Eastern Conference semifinal matchup. Now, I'm not going to say this is going to be an easy ride. I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy series, but I fully expect, like I did last year, matter of fact, even more than I did last year, that we will prevail and we will continue to progress on the road to a championship, on the road to the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, well, hopefully we keep our end of the bargain up and face the presumptive favorite out the East, the Boston Celtics. So I will give a quick recap of game six. I will give a quick recap of my thoughts, my innermost thoughts, my innermost beliefs on what I saw in that pivotal game six, and what I think we can extrapolate from that and move on into the future against the Indiana Pacers. So that would be topic number one. Topic number two today is something that I was batting back and forth on whether I was going to touch about, and being affected, I got my trusty notes. Hey, sister, ooh, how you doing? How you doing out there? Being affected, I got my trusty notes. I'm going to tackle it to the best of my ability, and that is the full blown rap battle between Drake and Kendrick Lamar. Over the last 2 days, Kendrick Lamar has dropped three tracks, not one, not two, but three tracks aimed at the boy. And the boy fell for the mousetrap, and the boy is running for cover, and the boy has a lot of things that he's probably going to be expected to explain, or he's going to tuck his tail and run between his legs, never to ever, 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 ever to be seen again. So I will talk about the battle that we've seen so far between Kendrick Lamar and Drake, and these tracks. I was discussing with one particular person, is this the end of Drake? Well, if it isn't the end of Drake, it's the end of Drake as we know him right now. There's no coming back from this. Yeah, so that's what's going to be on tap this week. Two topics. That's it. Guess what? Even though I'm wearing Met colors, even though I'm wearing the New York Metropolitan colors, the Metropolitan will not get a segment on this show because the Metropolitan currently stand. Matter of fact, the Metropolitan suck right now, to be blunt. And why should I give them valuable real estate on the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph platform, if these mother effers can't even remain above 500, which they're currently two games below 500. And to get more in depth, we are losers of four of the last five games. Unfortunately, I'm going to see these cocksuckers at the end of the month with Smitty from the group home in Bergen Beach, amongst others, with Zal, amongst others, two others to be exact, that I don't know. So I guess it's going to be more like a potluck. I guess I'll find out when I meet up with everybody who the other two people are going to be. And I'm quite sure we have a grand old time of Blue Moon shenanigans, which I have to refrain from Premium Sausage intake, which I have to refrain from Googling at all the boobies with M-E-T-S, Mets, across them, which I have to refrain from. So you would wonder, well, damn, why are you going? Because I'm going for camaraderie. I'm going for friendship. I'm going for the brotherhood. I'm going because of the free ticket. Now, let me stop. I'm letting you know, Smitty from the group home in Bergen Beach, there will be no, I repeat, no Mets talk here this weekend at all. So just bask in the orange and blue, because it's the only thing orange and blue that I'll be talking about that's not concerning my New York Knickerbockers. Mets, get your weight up. Matter of fact, get those wins up, and maybe, just maybe, I could carve out a piece of time to talk about y'all depressing asses. Or, matter of fact, have another retirement ceremony and I could strike y'all in. Or maybe y'all could come up with another hideous New York City Connect uniform, which is supposed to, anyway, You see, I done gave y'all enough of my time anyway. So without all that, without further ado, let's get this show on the road. Huh? Good night. Mwah! And goodbye. Damn, why am I shaking? Bang! The New York Knickerbockers prevailed over a hard-earned 4-2 series victory against those 76ers from the city of brotherly love. For all my visual watchers out there, you see Josh Hart basking in his glory after the game clinching 3-pointer with less than 30 seconds remaining in game 6, in which we sent the Philly faithful home. Those 2,000 to 2,500 tickets that the owner had to resort to buying to put out for the first responders, the city workers, just to make sure that the Knicks wouldn't take over as we had taken over in games 3 and 4. You know what? That just proved to me before the tip-off that this game was already won. This series was already won. It took them a miracle 35-foot jumper, 35-foot three-pointer by Tyrese Maxey to even push it to game 6. And for y'all to have to resort to stacking the deck just proved to me that y'all don't have the intestinal fortitude that people thought y'all had. But I digress. We won the series, and the Pacers are up next. 41-12. Yeah. 41-12. That's what Jalen Brunson dropped in game 6. As you can see, Jalen Brunson was nothing to F with, especially in this game 6. I have some stats that I'm going to go down the line with. Starting with 41-12. That was his stat line in game 6. Not only that, do you know 14 of those 41 points were scored in the last 6 minutes of the game? This stretch by one player on the Knicks hasn't been seen since the likes of Bernard King 35, 40 years ago. This is what kind of history Jalen Brunson had ushered into modern times. The last 3 games of the series. Now, mind you, 2 of those games were on the road in hostile territory. The last 3 games of the series, he scored the following: 47 points, 40 points at home, and 41 points. 2 of those 3 games were on the road. 2 of those 3 games were victories. Joel Embiid, who thankfully, this will be the last episode I'll speak of that big bitch. Yeah, I said it. Embiid had another quiet fourth quarter with a grand total of 2 points. He had 35 points in the first 3 quarters. 3. And do you know, 2 points in the last quarter. Not only that, for the series, look at these stats. Combined in the fourth quarter, he went 6 of 26 from the field. 5.8 points per game in the fourth quarter. And that's 23% from the field, 11% from 3 in the fourth quarter for the series. Now, because I deprived y'all of the post-game effervescence of yours truly, I'll give y'all a little brief breakdown of how the closing seconds, the closing minutes happened. We were down 10 at one point in the third quarter. After being up as much as 22 points in the first quarter, we came out smoking. But everybody knows that the NBA, especially the NBA playoffs, is a game of runs. At one point, I think we had them 26-8 in the first quarter. They ended that first quarter with 8-0 run, and me and the brothers in the group chat, me, Money Mike, D-Clark brought it out like, look, that 8-0 run, I wasn't feeling that. I wasn't feeling it either. The one person that was steadfast in his belief, the one person that was steadfast in the fact that we was going to send these cocksuckers home was my brother Money Mike. Not to be confused with Mike Steph, but Mike nevertheless. He said, I don't got to worry in my bone. I don't got to worry in my body. We send these cocksuckers home. Matter of fact, we're gonna take away their passport and leave them stuck in the city of brotherly love. This game was a game of epic swings. A game of epic swings. Dante had a big bounce back game with 23 points, 23.7 assists, including five threes. He played all 48 minutes. Josh Hart, who I spoke about prior at the very beginning of the segment, Josh Hart hit the dagger three-pointer with 24 seconds left in the game. He finished with 16 points, 14 rebounds. One of the keys of this victory was the containment of Tyrese Maxey. We held him to 17 points and 6 of 18 shooting after that scorching 46-point masterpiece in game 5. Buddy Hield, bum ass, was killing us from deep. He had 20 off the bench, but he was nowhere to be found in the third quarter. Maybe a bit of coaching malpractice by Nick Nurse, perhaps, but not our problem. That's your problem. He had 20 off the bench, but missed with a wild three-point shot with 2 minutes remaining in the game to clinch the game in the series for the good guys, for the New York Knickerbockers. Another crazy stat that this series could have really went either way. Do you know that for total points in the series, the Knicks, we scored 650 points combined in the series, and the Sixers scored 649. So this series, as a total, we won by 1 point. OG Anunoby had 19-9. He steadily progressed throughout the series, and that was another dude that played damn near 48 minutes a game in the last three, especially. Fun stat. Do you know that since the acquisition of OG Anunoby, we have yet to lose back-to-back games with him in our lineup? I believe that we might be, 27-5? With him in the lineup altogether. Now, this is something that I've said before, I've talked about in the past, and I will continue to talk about the ongoing narrative is that the Knicks have no talent or had nowhere near the talent compared to their opponents. We heard it all throughout the Sixers series. The Sixers have a better team. The Sixers have better players. Really? Really. The Sixers, anytime Joel Embiid is on the court, the Sixers have the best player on the court. Really? Really. Oh, the only reason why it was even close, and the only reason why the Knicks was able to prevail because Joel Embiid was averaging 30 on one leg and one eye. Really? Really? It's always a freaking excuse for Embiid, but like I said, I'm not gonna spend time talking about him because he's old news. He's passé. He's very passé. You know, you can replace passé for pussy, and you'll get my exact thoughts of Joel Embiid, but I digress. Jalen Brunson is averaging 35 and a half points per game in the playoffs. He's also averaging 42. That's right. I didn't stutter. 42 points per game on the road. He is the first player in NBA playoff history to have at least 35 points and 10 assists in three straight road games. I repeat, he is the first and only player in NBA history to have 35 points. At least 35 points and at least 10 assists in three straight road games. I've said it before, and I will continue to blow that horn and say this. His IQ is top tier. Top tier. He will take the info given by how he is being defended, and even if it stymied him for a game or two, he will eventually crack the code. Just like he eventually did in this Philly series. I'll take it back even more. Remember, yeah, I'm going crazy with the orange. Look, I'm sorry. Listen, when I talk about my Knicks, guess what? It's going to be orange and blue skies out this mother effer. Remember last year when he got blitzed on a drive against Miami in the waning minutes of game six and he forced the ill-advised jumper instead of moving the ball, instead of hitting a wide open Josh Hart for a potentially game-winning shot, at least a change-leading shot. But guess what? And this goes to the IQ. In the clinching game six this year, he corrected that mistake. And when the same scenario came up in which he drove and he was going toward the baseline and they threw the double team at him, guess what? He reversed that ball and hit Josh Hart, who was at the top of the key. And that pass enabled Josh Hart to make the game-winning shot. But when will the media give him his due? This isn't new. From his playoff debut with the Mavs to last year's postseason excursion with these New York Knickerbockers to this year's league MVP caliber year, still not getting the respect that he deserves. And I'm not knocking anyone, not knocking anyone else, but do you think that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, even the next dude that's on the agenda, the next dude that's on the menu to get eight, Tyrese Halliburton, who's, you know, not, listen, call a spade, his season wasn't all that after the in-season tournament. I mean, his season after the in-season tournament, it's average at best, but yet for the most of the season, he got way more fanfare than Brunson. But the best part about all this is Brunson don't give a rat's ass about none of that at all. All Brunson wants to do is win. The accolades, the attention, that's for us fans to get caught up in. That's for us fans to do. Remember when he first got signed, everyone said he was overpaid, he wasn't worth it, he wasn't the first option. F that. He's not only our first option, he's a first option on any team in this league. Yeah, I said it. We don't need any of the chosen ones. And this is no shade to my brother McDowell out in the desert. This is no shade to any Phoenix Suns fans out there. But I'm sorry. The one thing I don't want to hear after their elimination, when we continue to go on and they got eliminated after they put together their big three, is word coming out that Devin Booker wants to come to New York. Well, guess what, Devin Booker? Why you want to come to New York now? We don't need you over here. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, what have you won? I'll wait. That's what I thought. He hasn't won a damn thing. And like I said, this is no shade. But all these quote-unquote marquee players in the league that either use the Knicks as leverage in their own contract negotiation to be re-signed with the team that they are, or to get a big bag from somebody else to show, put that smoke screen up, or all the other marquee players that are like, New York ain't cool. Look, the Knicks, ill. The Knicks, I don't want to go with the Knicks, ill. Remember KD? Remember Kevin Durant? Knicks ain't cool. Yeah, Knicks ain't cool. Guess what? Last 2 years, Knicks have played more playoff basketball than your old decrepit ass. I don't want KD either. We have all this trade collateral. We have all this potential salary cap space. And I see the narrative starting to be spun. Now, don't get me wrong. Can we improve upon the roster that we have now? Yes. But I don't want no prima donnas over here. I don't want no divas over here. Or that's so the old mentality of the Knicks. Okay, hopefully we can get ourselves competitive. So by the grace of God, someone, one of these marquee players will grant us an audience to try to persuade him to come to the Mecca, to try to persuade him to come to the city that never sleeps. But guess what? We already have our superstar. Yeah, I said it. We already had our superstar. Can we add one more? Yeah, but someone, whoever that person may be, has to compliment the superstar we already have, the incumbent, if you will. And the incumbent is Jalen Brunson. We already have the Villanova 3. Ain't none one of them need to go nowhere. OG, he's already proven his worth and wins. He don't need to go anywhere. Julius Randle, I'm not going to say much about him because he is on the sidelines, and I'm quite sure this is really killing him that he's not able to contribute to what we got building here, what we got going on here. But when he comes back in the fold, he needs to know his place in the pecking order. Compliment JB. Your 25-9 is definitely missed, but it's missed in 25-9, not you being the person who makes the car run, the person who makes the reel go round and round and round and round, round and round, round and round. Like I said, as much as I would love to see don't try to toss no Bradley Beal over here either. He should be in strong consideration for Hustler of the Decade to get the contract that he received in Washington with a no trade clause. And now, unfortunately, he is a wrench in whatever the Phoenix Suns decide to do in their tinkering, because they can't rebuild. They can't, but like I said, this is a Knicks podcast. Knicks-centric podcast, I should say. If we need someone, we can tell you the truth, I think we just need health. Deuce McBride handling the business. But to put a bow tie on this upcoming series, that's, you're gonna see a lot of Jalen Brunson taking frail ass Halliburton into the post and hitting them with the 1-2 step. You're gonna see a lot of Josh Hart taking the heart, pardon the pun, out of Pascal Siakam. You don't think OG has a couple of tricks up his sleeve? You don't think OG knows his bag of tricks? Just like a lot of people are saying, well, you know, Obi Toppin, he knows a lot of bag of tricks. Listen, don't get me wrong. I was an advocate of keeping Obi on the team, Obi on the squad. But I will be the first to admit that if Obi was on the squad, somebody probably wouldn't be on the squad. And that would either be Dante or OG. Maybe OG wouldn't have been able to come because Obi would have been in his slot. Who knows? But we got to keep our eye on Obi on the wing. We got to make sure that Obi, everybody knows Obi has something to prove because of that leaked conversation with Tibbs last postseason when he was cursing Tibbs like, "Your bum ass, this bum ass nigga don't know how to coach." That was crazy. And soon after that, guess what? His bum ass was on the way to Indianapolis, Indiana. And we got his little brother, what, Jacob Toppin? Yeah, that was funny. Jacob, I swear, if there's a mole on this team, it better not be you. We will ship your ass to the G League. Matter of fact, we'll cut your ass with your non-guaranteed contract. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth closed. Because I guarantee you, I'm letting you know right now, if for some reason in game one, they done stymied our offense and they know our plays before we even start unveiling them, we know where the leak is. We know where the leak is. Your ass will end up in the East River. I know MSG's on the West Side. Guess what? We're gonna put you on the East. We're gonna put you up in El Barrio and hang your ass by the nuts. Bing bong. But yeah. My prediction before the series start, because game one is later on tonight, depending on when you see this. Knicks in six. Yeah, that's just, I want to say Knicks in five, but like I said in the last series, we're going to trick off a game. That's just in our DNA. That's just in our nature. So, Knicks in six. Off to Boston we go. Shoot. Might F around after face Cleveland. And we know Cleveland is our sons. That's why Cleveland was running hot, running scared, trying to get that fourth seed. Because they didn't want no parts of us in the first round. They didn't want no parts of us in the second round. So they went to make sure they went to the quote-unquote easier bracket. Guess what? Good luck. Hope y'all come out that bracket because y'all got an ass-whooping weird ting. Yes, I said ass-whooping weird ting. Weird ting in the wings because New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Go, New York. Now, talking about this rap battle between two heavyweights in the industry, Drake, Mr. Aubrey Graham, and Kendrick Lamar. They've been throwing subs, perceived subs, for over a decade. And it finally came to a head couple weeks ago a couple weeks ago, in a Like That song. The name of the song was Like That off Future and Metro Boomin's album, in which Kendrick threw the shots in and said, "There ain't no big three, it's just Big Me," something to that effect. "Motherfuck the big three, you're just talking about Big Me." And that was supposed to be a response into what he perceived was a shot at the collaboration between Drake and J. Cole. Throughout my research, or limited research as it may be, I did come to find out that First Person Shooter was supposed to be Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick Lamar. For whatever reason, probably because Kendrick can't stand that mother effer, Kendrick did not join them on the song. And when he didn't join them on the song, then Drake, in his passive aggressive way, had to throw a little subliminal, had to throw a little shot, and Kendrick responded in turn. Now, after that verse that Kendrick threw shots in, Drake, matter of fact, after that verse, it seemed like the whole project that Future and Metro Boomin put out was almost an EP of every track. There was a feature of somebody throwing shots at Drake. We had The Weeknd. We had ASAP Rocky. We had Kendrick Lamar. Then Cole had put out a 7-minute response track in which he quickly deleted and scrubbed and came out and actually apologized for what he deemed as jumping out the window and not listening to his spirit. It made it, he couldn't sleep. He felt that it was forced. He allowed the people, the background people, the people in his camp, just overall the society at large, to put the battery in his back to go against someone that he perceived as a brother, that he looked at as a brother, he looked at as a friend. And the track, you could tell a lot of people was like, well, the only reason he apologized because the track was mid, the track was trash. He admitted himself, like, his heart wasn't really in it. He felt like he was doing a disservice to whatever relationship that they had built over these years by putting that track out and by trying to discredit his discography, which is his career. And it just didn't sit right with him. So he fell back. He said, look, he fell back. Actually, he announced this during his Dreamville Festival on stage, and he pretty much put it in terms like, look, dude, I fucked up. I'm apologizing for my place, for my part in it, my part doing what I did. You accept it, fine. If you don't accept it, I understand. If you come from my head and try to take my head to clean the F off, it is what it is. I'll even put my chin out. Other words, I'll give you the swing. You can knock me the fuck out. And I get it, because I put myself in a position that I deserve as much, because we rock with each other a certain way. I overstepped that. I effed that up. He immediately removed himself from the situation. Due to ridicule, oh, this is rap, this is a competitive sport. You know what? You can't be on the track talking about, yeah, this, that, and the third. You're the best rapper alive, blah, 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 blah. And then when the beef comes, when the boogeyman comes, all right, you get afraid of the boogeyman, and then you tuck tail and leave. J. Cole was like, look, I don't give a fuck what y'all say. I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it for how I feel. I'm doing it for the reasons that I know about. It's not for y'all to understand. And as someone who, especially over the last year and change, has had an enlightenment of his own in various ways, I get it. Sometimes sometimes the right thing to do is not the popular thing to do. Sometimes to take a step back and, all right, people who try to figure out, or people try to say, look, which guard, yo, he fell back. He shouldn't have did this, shouldn't have did that. Yo, he's scared, blah, blah, blah. Listen, if my heart, my mind, my God knows why I'm doing the things or why I chose to do what I need to do for my own health, for my own saving, then that's all that needs to be understood. It's not meant for y'all to understand. I get it. I got both sides of the equation. Hip hop, battling, diss tracks, whatever. I get it. But I also get the human part. I also get the spiritual part. I also get the adult, mature part of, you know what? Listen, in reality, I know whatever shot you were shooting my way, I caught some shrapnel. I caught some standby, some friendly fire, but it really wasn't toward me. And I jumped out. Matter of fact, on top of it, I jumped out first. I didn't even allow the person who was really directed at to jump out for their own self. I get it. So now, since we took Cole and put him to the side, Rick Ross put out a track. And he went the comedic route afterwards. White boy, white boy. Yeah, white boy. Yeah, you got your nose fixed because you don't like being black, white boy. And so forth. He said his problem with Drake was, and I think this really was an excuse, was the fact that Drake sent the cease and desist to French Montana on a song that they collaborated with, and he felt like since they had worked together, then they had a certain rapport. If anything, you come to me as a man, you sick the lawyers on me. We helped you get credibility, and this is how you treating me, because whatever happened, this is how you treat me. You can't even come to me as a man. Can't be coming to me as a businessman. You sick the lawyers on me. Fine. But I really feel like that was just an excuse for him. Like, oh, it's open season on Drake. I'm there. Take Rick Ross out the way. All this is happening while we're waiting for responses. Drake put out two songs back to back without response. In it, he was taunting Kendrick to respond, saying, nah, you're not gonna walk away from this one. Nah, you're not gonna ignore this one. No, we want one now. Sometimes be careful what you ask for. And I'm quite sure Drake and his arrogance that he steadily shows the world, in his arrogance, like, yeah, I know. All right, when he finally responds, I got the counterpunch already, blah, 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 blah. Whatever info that he's going to try to get, I already got info on him, blah, 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 blah. Some of these accusations, such as him getting extorted to give half of his earnings to Top Dog Entertainment every time he puts out music and other such related things. He even had a line about Kendrick's significant other, which was questionable initially. It was still questionable, and the initial shot with Whitney and the bodyguard, I'm going to bodyguard Whitney and something to that effect. Listen, I'm not breaking down line by line. If you want to do that, you go to Rob Markman and all that, because he did an exquisite job. But when Kendrick put out his first response, Euphoria was the name of it. He basically laid out the ground rules. Leave the fam out or it'll be a problem. He also said everything that he was going to do, he being Kendrick, and everything he expected in return, expected from Mr. Loverboy, Drake. So, of course, Drake must have thought he was bulletproof and proceeded to do it anyway. Kendrick said, leave the fam and the kids out of it. Drake did what he had to, did what he felt like he was doing. Included in this narrative was him being ganged up 1v20, 20v1, whatever. All these people get, you're playing the victim card, just like somewhat of his hue might be apt to do, you know. Throw rocks and hide their hands, which Kendrick accused them of doing, and this is a perfect example of him doing it. Meanwhile, Drake was responding to everybody at once. He responded to Metro Boomin. He was responding to Future. He said that he didn't really have a problem with Future. He responded to Rocky. He responded to Weekend. He even invoked some AI into the fray on TaylorMade Freestyle by using the voices of Tupac and Snoop Dogg to lay down verses. But everybody knew it was Drake. But still, until that got taken out of there by the Tupac estate, thank God, because to me that was just like, come on, dude, like, what are you doing? Yeah, I know, creatively, blah 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 blah. Yeah, I'm sorry, that shit was weak. Shit was weak to me. But while he was spraying everybody, you know, he's hitting Kendrick with some low blows. But while he was spraying everybody, Kendrick was directing everything solely at Drake. And hidden with precision that was savant-like. He picked apart his problems with his self-esteem, his parental activity, his non-acknowledgement of another or other children, the way he treats women, the usage of the culture to buoy his own career, jacking styles and ways for his own advancement, listed the people from Future to 21 to Little Baby to Little Wayne, amongst others. And the grand finale was him being a pedophile that runs with sex offenders in his circle. His warning to people to keep their kids and stay away from him, or he would look at them funny also, to me, was a kill shot. And you know why he brought up the pedophilia? You know why he brought up the sexual predator angle? Was because Drake went low first, in my opinion. Drake, this mother effer right here with the multicolored barrettes in his head, looking slow in the face. Yeah, I said it. He mentioned in the Family Matters freestyle that Kendrick's child was fathered not by Kendrick, but his best friend, Rick Free, Best Free, some shit like that. Pretty much Kendrick's best friend. And how Kendrick beat on the woman of his children. And said, do you beat on her? Or do you hit her in defense because you're smaller than her? Once again, getting the short joke. All right, short jokes are good and fine. But when you talk about DV, domestic violence, like, really? And this is, like I said, this is before he really went there with the pedophilia. He really went there with the... So, automatically, off Euphoria, Drake was feeling the pressure. This somewhat reminded me of the Jay Nas beef from back in the day, in which the line was crossed when Jay said, I left condoms on your baby seat in the back of the whip. And then he had to go on Hot 97 and cop a plea. Like, look, my mom told me you're always raised better than that. You know, and that was a line too far and blah, 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 blah. Nas just hit him with Straight Ether, which was the name of the track. He came out with Super Ugly, which is super ugly for nobody but Jay-Z. This was similar. Similar. Desperate. This reeked of desperation to talk about, yeah, you beat on your wife, you beat on your girl, you beat on your woman. Yeah, that's son. Yeah, you talk about me not being a father. Well, guess what? At least I'm a legitimate father. That's not even your child. But it, to me, was low and without merit. We've never heard no type of rumors about that. You could say we've never heard of any type of rumors with about Drake having additional children that he don't acknowledge. But once again, hit Dolla Kala. In his response, he was more concerned about, yeah, if I could find that 11-year-old that I supposedly have, let me know. Never said anything about, never pushed back on the pedophilia. And never pushed back about him being weird. Never pushed back about how the fact that he likes younger women, even if they're legal. Like, look, if you're 37, what the fuck are you dealing with an 18, 19-year-old for? I'm sorry. Yeah, technically they're legal. Technically you can't get statutory rape, but like, really? Like, you're old enough to have, like, I've really never dealt with women younger than me, period. I don't even give a fuck. He was in high school, after high school. Shit. Quiet is kept. When I was in first grade, don't you know I had a fifth grade girlfriend? I'm not going to say more because then a lot of questions would be raised about what the hell was a fifth grader wanting to do with a first grader. But sometimes in Brevoort, the things that aren't spoken speak the loudest. Let's put it that way. But that shows you kind of man I am. Even at the tender age of 6, 7. But you know what? I'm going this way. I'm not even going to joke about that. But in many ways, Drake going that route, talking about domestic violence and Rich Gordon, illegitimate children, made it to me that he should reap what he's sown. His morality has been attacked and questioned by KDOT. And with actions that he's taken in this battle, and actions that he's taken in this tete-a-tete, to me, he's proven the majority of his detractors right. Even the way he goes about his battle strategy. This ain't Meek. This a whole different breed who I'll talk with, which I'll get into later. Drake has proven himself to be, to me, because this is my opinion we're talking about here. Drake has proven himself to me to be what a lot of people have said he has been for years. Shallow, stale, immature, a man with an identity crisis, scary ass boy. He's never dealt with a dude this complex. He ducks the smoke when it comes to men. He ducked Pusha because he felt it was beneath him. And the real battle was with Kanye. He ignored Joe Budden because of his perceived irrelevance due to the popularity, due to sales at the time of the battle. But yet, both Pusha and Joe tore Drake a new asshole. He clowned Meek even in the first salvo, because even in this first salvo, he brought others into the fray when his sole focus should have been Kenny. He clowned me. He, you know, he said back to back. Yeah, he going. He hit him with the back to back, and made a club record out of it because Meek wasn't quick on the draw. And when by the time that Meek responded, it had been he allowed Drake to get so much into the public's conscious of what they thought Meek was about. Everybody thought Meek was super gangster. And how you letting this singer nigga body you on the track with no fear? So once Meek came out and said, you know how Meek would be. Nobody was trying to hear that. Nobody was trying to hear that. He beat him on the internet. But he's never dealt with the dude this complex. Now, like I said it before, especially now, it's been said that J. Cole was smart in hindsight to back out and apologize at the very beginning, even though when this first started, he was clown for bowing out. To me, it's been proven. It's been proven over the last couple of days because we had 616 in LA. Then we had the tip. Then we had Family Matters freestyle. Then within an hour after Family Matters dropped, then we had Meet the Grams, in which it's formatted as a letter to Drake's entire family, his mom, his pops, his son, his daughter, and Drake himself, about all the flaws, everything, every fiber of his being that Kendrick has a problem with his being. Not his raps. Could he even said it? Look, I thought we were going to go back and forth. Who's the better man? Who's the better lyricist? But you wanted to bring the family in. Okay. That's at the very beginning. For every lie you say about me, I'm going to tell a truth about you. And he did just that. A lot of people was like, darn, Meet the Grams, that was maybe a little bit too personal. Guess what? Kendrick don't give a fuck. Because you opened that door. Drake opened that door. He was like, all right, now gloves off, nigga. Gloves off. You're going to accuse me of putting hands on my woman? You're going to question me of why me and my woman, me and my queen aren't legitimately married? You're a 37-year-old presenting yourself as a 7-year-old, nigga. The boy. When is the boy going to become a man? Did he not say that? For the last 15 years, has there been any type of growth? He said, you lied about this. You lied about this. You lied about that. You lied about that. You lied about that. You lied about your religion. You lied about your accent. You lied about your background. You lied about everything has been a lie. Your whole being, your whole person is a lie. And then before the smoke even cleared on that, guess what? He hit him in the head again. With a club banger. Not like us. So he's like, look, I hit you with the first blow. Hit you with the second blow. Then I counterpunch quick. Which some would say the knockout punch, but no, that was to let you know, yo, I don't like you. I don't like what you stand for. And now, just for play, I'm going to get some bread off this and I'm going to take it to the bay on some hyphy shit and I'm going to expose even more. Ovi Ho. You're nothing but a fan, a freak ass nigga. You're the 69 guard. Six guard? No, the 69 guard. You blow me, I blow you. For those who don't comprehend exactly what he was getting at. What else is there to say? He even said, and not like us, he got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, plus 5 more in the stock. Meaning, he is ready for, no, and now the tables have returned. No, you're not going to walk away. No, you're not going to ignore this. From what I was watching a short stream with academics and Joe Button. And Joe Button was like, look, if I'm Drake right now, when it comes, either I'm going to come out and I'm going to say my piece, but when it comes to the allegations, leave it alone. Because right now, and I get what he's saying, at this point in time, those who believe that is going to believe it no matter what he says against it. Because right now, it's a L. It just depends on how big a L is going to be. It could be just lowercase L, or it could be an L that permanently ends his career. Is the boy finished? My thing is, for his sake, the boy needs to be finished. Needs to be finished. That persona needs to be finished. You have to grow up. You can't be Peter Pan, motherfucker, your whole life. Trust me, I know. As wonderful as it would be to live forever and have that young state of mind forever, especially being a man, sometimes we have to, it comes a point that, you know, sometimes it takes longer than others, but it comes a point that, look, all right, listen, I got to do what I got to do. I got to step up. I have to take care of responsibilities. I have to actually talk about shit with substance. Speaking of substance, one last thing. He even broke down how he uses everyone. He goes down to Atlanta. He uses Lil Baby for his slang. He uses 21 for street cred. He used Future to get right back in the day. And then when he took what he needed, he wasn't a collaborator, he was a colonizer. Because Drake said in the Family Matters freestyle, you rap like you're still trying to free the slaves. Is there a problem with that? Everything that Kendrick has put out, even if people deem it to be too dense for daily consumption, everything he's put out has some type of substance to it. Whether you subscribe to it or not, it has substance. It's layers. It's not just surface. Or if, at the very least, at least it's an attempt to have layers and surface. You've been singing the same old song and dance for the last 15, 16 years. So Far Gone to Views to More Life to whatever. It's been different accents, different personalities. Like when you first came out, I could have swore the motherfucker was from Houston, Atlanta, Vegas. Then he switched over to Rude Boy. Now what? Don't know. The way he talks about women that he slept with is disgusting. Or women that turned him down is disgusting. He really ended up being the reincarnation of Jay-Z. Think about it. And in this time and day of these allegations, of everybody being exposed for the freak ass nigga tendencies. It was only a matter of time before the closet was pulled open. He called Drake a bid. Or matter of fact, he said Drake knows what bids are. That's why he grew one. Like, he went in. And I refer to this picture. I'm sorry. You're pushing 40 and you're looking like... I'll even give you... Because the way the generation is now, I'm even willing, even though it's blasphemous for me to say, I'm willing to give you a little benefit of the doubt if you're in your late teens, early 20s in this industry and you do some shit like that. You're pushing 40 and this is what you're doing? That's what you're doing, mate? I don't know, man. I don't know. But yeah, so maybe next week we'll have more meat on the bone. Maybe next week this will be officially finished. And that's not the effect. Delete. Finished. Personally, I think it's finished right now, but what say you? Leave it in the comments. Well, people, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Step podcast. And y'all probably wondering, why do I have Benson and Stable looking startled as my little picture for the outro? Quite simple. Shoot, because after listening to these tracks from Kendrick, I swear, I half expected Carisi and Benson and Stabler and the whole SVU crew, especially when he came from the West Coast with Ice-T, I half expected them to weigh in on what they deemed would be too hot for TV. But yeah. So I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me in this here podcast the one y'all choose to listen to. Next week, well, guess what? More the same. More Knicks talk, because we'll probably be at least 3 games into the series, so we'll know exactly there. But I will say this. Please, like, subscribe, tell a friend, share, and the like. Because this week, like I did last week, there might be, just might be some sprinkle of salt episodes throughout the week with post-game reactions, so you will get the quickest response instead of waiting a whole week. And how about we get some that same night reactions to how the New York Knickerbockers beat the Indiana Pacers? How Jalen Brunson is continuing on this historic trend, his historic run? Or we can lick our wounds together as a family and get ready for the next game. So please like, subscribe, tell a friend, and please hit the notification button so when I drop a sprinkle of salt detailing my New York Knickerbockers and their trek throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs, you will be the first ones who hear it. Yeah. But yeah, next week will be more of the same, some Knick talk. Maybe I'll sprinkle in some Mets if they actually get on a winning streak, which I doubt. And yeah. So just check me out. Last but not least, before I get into the plugs, because I'm looking at my notes right now, and I got a lot of wrestling notes that I did not touch on. So I might actually give y'all a little mini episode recapping this past weekend's PLE offering by WWE. Backlash, you know. So, matter of fact, I'm looking at these notes. I think, yeah, I'll probably give you a little 15-20 minute mini episode before this one actually comes out, or maybe after this one comes out, who knows. But pretty much check it out. If you didn't hear it or you didn't see it, you're hearing about it right now. My recap of WWE's Backlash, Yeah, that's why I'm going to say it on air, so I hold myself to the fire to make sure I actually do this little mini episode. So, let me get to the plugs. Please, please, please check out. Check out me. Salty Thoughts and Mike's Step Podcast, available on the following platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music, amongst others. New episodes of the audio version drop each and every Wednesday. Each and every Wednesday. Check me out on the social medias. Check me out on X, for me on the Twitter, at Mike Steffens double underscore. Check me out on the gram at Mike double underscore Steph. And check me out on TikTok at Mike Steph single underscore. Cash App me some money at, or should I say, $ Donnie Mike on Cash App. And check out my new blog, which I haven't put an entry in the last couple of weeks. But check out my new blog, MikeStephOrg.wordpress.com. And while you're there, check out Hidden Gems Football, hosted by the Mojo King and myself. New episodes drop during the football season every Thursday on the 19 Media Group YouTube channel. Check out our latest episode, which is about maybe a month old, but check out our latest episode detailing the free agent frenzy in the NFL. We are not talking about the NFL draft because neither myself nor the Mojo King is a draft savant. So we was not going to attempt to do so. But I smell an episode coming soon. Maybe some, some OTA talk. Maybe some minicamp talk. Just maybe. I don't know. But maybe if I put it out in the atmosphere, it'll come to fruition. But yeah, check out Hidden Gems Football with myself and the Mojo King on the 19 Media Group YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, check out my brothers, my bros from Gimmick Infringement, Winchester, and McDowell, GI, also available on the 19 Media Group YouTube channel. Check them out each and every late Sunday night, early Monday morning, in which they detail the latest happenings in the last week of wrestling, pro wrestling action, detailing the WWE, AEW, amongst others. And not only that, they're not only just a wrestling show. No. They talk about pop culture. They talk about the Drake and Kendrick situation. They talk about A Rose for Tyler, which is the weekly recap of Bachelor Nation. Either the Bachelor, the Golden Bachelor, or Bachelorette. The Bachelorette is soon to debut. So check out A Road for Tyler. Check out One Day When You Have Kids, which I'm going to put out here right now on my platform, that this is an open invitation to Mr. Winchester. Yes, that's right. I said it to Mr. Winchester to actually join me in the graphics that he created so we can have a segment over here of One Day When You Have Kids. And that's my open invitation for him to actually come on the show.
Fuck that! Clear, guys. Fuck that! You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that the shit stops. The Rock doesn't give a fuck.
Yo, Rock. Yo, chill. That's the brother. You know, like, I'm putting out an open invitation and this is...
Fuck that!
Clear, guys.
Fuck that! You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that the shit stops. The Rock doesn't give a fuck.
Okay, Rock. Okay. How about this? Me, Mike Steph, was a guest host this week on Gimmick Infringement. Yes, that's right. Myself, Mike Steph, and the Desert Devil himself, Tyler McDowell, we co-hosted Gimmick Infringement. He had me on to talk about Backlash, had me talk about AEW, and he had me talk about a comparison between the 04 Pistons and this current iteration of the New York Knickerbockers, amongst others. So please check them out. I'll be glad you did. They'll be glad you did. And
fuck that.
Clear, guys.
Fuck that. You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that this shit stops. The Rock doesn't give a fuck.
I apologize for The Rock. Like he tried to take over. Stitch, right? He tried to take over. Yeah, Stitch is not really effing with me because he don't got a hat on today, so he caught a little head cold. But yeah, so check me out over there, check me out over here, and without further ado, I'm gonna get out of here.
Say it to you slowly, and it may sound scandalous. I don't think that you can handle this.
Listen. The soundboard is going crazy. It's going crazy. I don't know what's the matter with these people. Roman Reigns had the T-shirt. Okay. We're just gonna be easy. I'm gonna get out of here because this actually had a chance to be about an hour long, and this outro has been longer, way longer than I planned on it to be. So I will see y'all next week. Until then, goodbye.
Stitch, yeah. Fuck that!
Clear, guys.
Fuck that! You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that this shit stops. The Rock doesn't give a fuck!